You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Let's talk about timing, because that seems to be a piece of differentiation that's been coming up a little bit, which is, do you differentiate slowly? Do you kind of let people acclimatize to it? Do you just change drastically and all of a sudden it's super exciting? Because I feel like both can work, and I feel like it's hard to know when it's time to do which.
Really, with the knowledge that it's okay to be feel boring, it's okay to be normal, how can I be slightly different so I can stand out in the sea of sameness and not feel or look like a commodity?
Interweaving that difference and that uniqueness into what you're already doing can spice things up and really be the multiplier to what it is you're already doing.
What if it leads you to that next stepping stone, right? Like, I think as long as you do the Marie Kondo thought process of like, will this make me happy? Is it going to be fulfilling? Is it going to put me closer in the direction of where I want to go as a professional and as a person, and you know what, how I want to live my life, then do it.
Welcome to the Lunch Break ABCs. I'm Brandon Eastman, and I am here with Andrew Biernat, Christine Smith, and Ben Albert. And we're here to help you level up your business and your personal life in the new year, specifically with today's episode, which is all about how to differentiate yourself in 2023. The new year's coming up. How are you preparing for it? And more specifically, how are you preparing to stand out this new year? The Lunch Break ABCs is possible because of you. Every episode is voted on by yourself. We give you four different topics. You choose the topic you want to see the most. And today's how to differentiate yourself in 2023 was the winner. So thank you for being the best part of the Lunch Break ABCs team. And the four of us are here to discuss how you can stand out. How are you guys doing? How was your holidays? How was your Christmas?
Great.
Fantastic. Great. Fantastic. Good family time. Too much food. Time to eat less of that.
I hear you, brother. Same for me. A lot of food, a lot of family time. And I'm excited to spend time with the Lunch Break family today to talk about how we can be different in 2023. So let's start with you, Andrew. What does differentiation mean to you when you saw that this was the number one voted thing? What came to your mind?
For me, I always think about this almost is like a reflection of me as a person. Sometimes I like being different just for being different's sake, which has pluses and minuses that go with it, right? When everyone zigs, I like to zag. And so, you know, it's brought me a lot of opportunity in a lot of ways, but it's also made me a social outcast in other situations. So, you know, I would say differentiation for me is just kind of just a part of the way that I think, where I don't like to be the same as everybody else. I like to be similar enough that I can fit in, but stand out, right? Fit in, but stand out. I've got the same vibe, but it's kind of a different look, right? Some a little bit more unique. What, you know, whatever it is, whether it's my branding, my business, the way I do stuff, and the way I present myself, the way I show up and the way I interact with people. And so for me, a lot of differentiation, particularly in business or in small business, is very much tied up in personality, I think. I think they're closely related, where to be different as a small business is you bring a little bit more of yourself, because that is the 100% unique thing that you bring. You know, even if you're a twin, you're both unique. You're different people, right? So we bring our personality, and that's an easy way for us to set up some differentiation, is to let that personality bleed out into the business or into the work that you're doing.
So you're saying that in order to be different, you must, in a way, already know yourself. So I feel like that could be a whole conversation in itself about how can you be able to say that you truly know yourself? So when did you discover yourself, Andrew? Do you believe that to be true, that statement of you need to know yourself in order to be different? Does that personality, is that innate?
I don't know.
Or is that learned based on the people you fit in with?
I think for everybody, it's a process, right? And you see this going back to, you know, grade school, is some people just try to be different. They just always are pushing the envelope. They're always trying to do it. And they don't know very much about themselves in those years, right? I know I didn't know much about myself in those years. And so I think you know, some people just naturally push towards that. But I think to be able to effectively and consciously differentiate often does imply that you know more about yourself, right? But I think some people just, they just get it. They just know that they want to be different and they're just different. But I think the more you know about yourself, the more you know when it's important to be different and when it's important to be the same. Because if you're always trying to be different about everything, I think a lot of times you end out as this more social outcast. And people, you can't quite connect, right? Because I'm so different. Ooh, I'm edgy. I'm different. And I feel like, you know, there's a whole edgy crowd in high school, right? That really just tries to be different about everything. And they purposely try to not fit in. And so, I feel like in business, you want to fit in the right ways and you want to be different in the right ways. And to your point, I think that requires some personal study and some personal knowledge to do that. But I think some people, even without that personal study and knowledge, can pull it off well. I'm kind of curious what the rest of you guys think, though.
I think it's interesting that you pointed out about like the outcasts in school. And I felt like that was like a fake way to differentiate yourself. And I think people do that now still because they either haven't gone down the self-awareness path to evaluate like, well, how do they want to be different? They haven't figured that out. So they just go by what they think is different and unusual or atypical. Oh, I'm just going to do that and see if it works. But inadvertently, it could hurt them because it's not really who they are or, you know, doesn't mesh with what they're trying to go with. But on top of that, like how I think differentiation is based on discomfort. So I think that kind of comes into like, you know yourself because you know kind of what your boundaries are. But I think you can't separate yourself from someone else if you don't do things that are uncomfortable. Like you, because you won't know, right? Like you won't know if you like something or don't like something if you don't try. And I think how you can build yourself as a professional in a different box is you have to try. You have to put effort in to see if that's really going to make sense or if that's a direction that you want to go. And you can't go based off of what the masses are necessarily doing unless it's in your industry. And I think there is something said about like, hey, this has worked. Why reinvent the wheel? But how can you flavor it so it's you, not, you know, so-and-so who's doing the same thing? You know, put your own kind of spark to it. But I think there is some, like you have to pay attention to those things. And I think people like to rip it apart and redo it and say, I'm just going to do this completely different. I'm like, okay, I can appreciate that. But is that going to be worth the time and effort to really separate yourself? And, you know, is it really going to take you where you want to go?
I'm kind of curious on some of Ben's take on differentiation, because I mean, and you're a marketing guy especially, but you just are different. You're like different in the right ways. You know what I mean? Like it's just, when I first met you, it was so refreshing to get to know you because I think you're consciously different. You're not just different for different sake. You picked certain things that you really focus on. So, I mean, I'm kind of curious on your take on differentiation, Ben.
It's nice to be different. One of my mentors, Steve Sims, he's like, I'm ugly and I love it. So excited. He's like, I'm ugly and I love it. It's better to stand out and have a couple of scars than be the same perfect cookie. Like we want to stand out a little bit. It's funny. You guys are talking about like rebellion. And I do think that's a thing. Like people identify as different or rebellious and can actually get in their own way because, yeah, you're being different. But to give a really simple example is a company has built a playbook. The plays work. The system works. Everyone in the company, at least maybe not everyone in the company, but everybody on the leaderboard is utilizing the playbook to win. And you go in and you go, well, I think differently. I act differently. Let's do this differently. I've been studying with Brandon Eastman. He's taught me A, B, and C. I really don't like what Andrew's saying here. So I'm going to just ignore my boss, my superior, Andrew, and do Brandon's plays. Well, Brandon's on a different team than Andrew. Companies are different, this or that. So my point is, I feel like we try really hard to be rebellious, but there's a difference between being rebellious and differentiating. So let's say there's a playbook, the plays work. You can still audible within that play. If your job as a wide receiver for the football fans is to run a little bit left, then sidestep and then go downfield, you can play with what's the body position of the person I'm in. Do I step into them and then pivot hard? Maybe I actually see that they're falling weak when I sidestep and I audible the play, knowing me and my quarterback have different communication here. So it's like not being different just to be rebellious, not being different because I think I should stand out, not identifying myself as a rebel and this is the wrong way. It's actually, let's figure out what's working, but you guys already said it. Add my own special, sexy, different sauce to it that other people might not be adding. And what's crazy, we might fall on this a lot. It really depends. It's circumstantial. Like, you want to be able to pivot and audible and show up the way you're needed. And if you show up the way, that's another thing. Just knowing the plays, but still being able to do them differently will immediately differentiate yourself. Right now, my camera's going all over the place. That differentiates myself a little bit, I suppose. But I'm excited to dive deeper into this, really with the knowledge that it's okay to be feel boring. It's okay to be normal. How can I be slightly different so I can stand out in the sea of sameness and not feel or look like a commodity and actually be my own special sauce, which we all have?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. And, you know, I know we talked about not agreeing with absolutely everything that everyone has said, but it's, I think in this sense, we're all on a very similar wavelength to the sense that there's a dichotomy between fitting in and being different and being unique. And I remember, as an example, when I first became a sales team lead, I went from just making money for myself to now helping 17 other people make money. I wanted to change a bunch of things when I became a leader, because the way that the first sales team lead before me did things was very different than the way I do things. And I remember bringing a list of different things that I wanted to see changed on the team to my boss at the time. And he said, "This is great." And I said, "Well, what should I do first?" And he said, "None of it." I was like, "What? None of it?" And he's like, "Don't do any of this." He's like, "If you come in here and you shake things up immediately, if you start to do everything differently than the way that things are already being done, the way that other people see you doing things currently, if you do a complete 180, you're going to confuse people. People are going to drop off. People are going to be anxious. They're going to be afraid. People don't like to see change. We're creatures of certainty. That uncertainty is important. It's a need, but we love certainty. We love seeing things unroll the way that they always have." And I said, "Then what do I do?" And he's like, "Well, for the first 3 months, I want you to just fit in. I want you to get to know the team. I want you to get to know, like what you said, Ben, the processes and the systems. And as you do those things, start looking for better ways to do those same things." And after 3 months of doing this, I developed relationships with the people on the team. I embedded myself into the existing systems. And then I started to chip away at that list one by one, changing one thing at a time, to the point where the people around us in 1 year looked around and said, "Wow, things are a lot different now than they used to be a year ago." But it's like the frog in boiling water analogy. You throw it in there, if the water is already boiling, it's going to hop right out, right? But if you throw it in there and you slowly raise the heat, then that frog is toast. So it's the same thing with your business. If you change up everything, if you change up your social media strategy immediately, you're going to confuse people. If you are a YouTube channel that talks about underwater basket weaving, and all of a sudden you post a video of you doing psychedelics or whatever it may be, then people are going to be like, "Wow, this is a lot different than what I'm used to." And they might hit unsubscribe because it's not for them. But if you are underwater doing the basket weaving while on psychedelics, then people are like, "Wow, this is the same as what
now I'm we got doing. A show,"
but slightly different, right? So interweaving that difference and that uniqueness into what you're already doing can spice things up and really be the multiplier to what it is you're already doing.
I love that.
I want to say I want to disagree with you for part of that. Because
what part, Christine? Let's hear it.
So the people part, I agree with. Like, people, when you're in a situation where there's change coming for a lot of different people, and they're not all the same age bracket, they haven't been working at the same company for very long, you have to do things gradually, right? Especially for retention purposes, unless you purposely want to remove some of those people, then you would make changes faster, right? But going to like the basket weaving example, so from a marketing standpoint, I think there is validity to doing things drastically. And it could be because you want people to notice, right? So Brandon, for an example, with your podcast, if all of a sudden you had like a toupee on, or you wore a hat, because you never do that, right? You always have the same sweatshirt on, similar background, and then you have whoever you're interviewing, right? But I think if you drastically change something, like, I would probably be like, what is he doing? I have to watch this episode because there must be a reason. And then you're like, well, wait, when did this start? Right. Like, so you can cause a wave of reaction when you do things abruptly, because you don't know when people are paying attention either. And I think there's some, trying to figure out when that is, right? Sometimes you just have to do something abrupt. And then people are like, well, wait a second. When did this happen? How come I didn't notice before? And that could be the reason that people remember you too. I think we've all done things like that, either in our careers or even in our personal life. I know when I was going through my divorce, like, the first thing I did was change my hair color, which is like a very common thing that women do, right? And I eventually transitioned into purple. And it was always something that people remembered about me. They're like, not the fact that I'm 5'11", but like the fact that my hair is purple. And they're like, oh, I've never met anyone with purple hair. And I'm like, you're never going to meet someone else with purple hair. Or if you do, you're going to still remember me, right? Because of that is not something that you normally see. So I think there's, I agree with part of that, but I disagree, with the other part. I think there is some validity to drastic change, even in a marketing thing. Like, if I was doing social media for a client and what they had been doing before wasn't like that exciting, and they really needed a change up, sometimes it's like, well, who's expecting it? No one's going to be like, oh my God, well, now your stuff is really loud, I'm not going to be a client anymore. Well, maybe they weren't a good client in the first place, right? Like, maybe they were marketing to the wrong people and they just didn't even realize that. So sometimes you have to rip the Band-Aid off in order to make those changes, because, okay, well, if we wait 90 days, it's going to be too long. It's going to take too much time.
Let's talk about timing, because that seems to be a piece of differentiation that's been coming up a little bit, which is, do you differentiate slowly? Do you kind of let people acclimatize to it? Do you just change drastically and all of a sudden it's super exciting? Because I feel like both can work. And I feel like it's hard to know when it's time to do which. When I look at differentiation and I think about, okay, what are the times that I've changed stuff in my business or changed stuff about my podcast or in my life, is, I'm on my third job right now in the past basically year and a half, right? So I was a personal trainer for 8 years, transitioned, was in a chamber of commerce, and now I work at a job where I'm helping people self-publish their books, right? So it's been kind of a hoppy little path recently. But, when I look at kind of my personal path, it is when I know, right? And it's like almost like once as an entrepreneur, or once you get to know yourself a little bit, when you know it's time for a change, it's like a dog with a bone. You can't just you can't let it go. It's just always there. Right. When I know, when in previous relationships, when I knew that this relationship wasn't going to go anywhere, you can't unknow it. You can't unknow that. Right. And it just colors everything from then on. Am I staying in this relationship just because, like, I know it has no hope. I know it has no future. So what am I doing? Right. And I look at that in business or with my podcast. Right. I knew at one point I was like, I don't want to just talk about business anymore. I want to talk about a little bit more. And there's plenty of business podcasts that do that. But I was like, I want to expand it a little bit. I want to change it. Right. And as soon as I knew, I knew I had to make a change, right? And it wasn't a 180 change. I was still me. I was still showing up, having similar conversations. But I changed a lot of the branding around it. I changed a lot of the way that I marketed it and presented it. Changed the categories I showed up in. And so for me, I feel like the big changes often are accompanied by those, like, when you know, kind of moments. But I'm curious for you guys, what are some times that you've known and you've made small changes and you've known and you've just like dropped the guillotine, that past is done and I'm on to this new future, right? I'm kind of curious, when, how do you know? How do you know when to do a slow change or a big, fast change?
It's kind of a interesting answer, but I feel like there's no like K-N-O-W. And then there's knowing, and the knowing is a lot harder to describe than the know. What I mean by that is, well, let's go back to the playbook example. I know that this play works. I've watched film. I understand these systems work. I understand, based on previous data, I know where to go in this situation. Knowing is something different. It's something internal. And I'd love to hear you guys expand, because I don't have an answer. But for me, it's almost like you just feel it inside of you. It's like this simmering boil that's just ready to overflow. And you can either let it overflow or find a way to turn the heat down and wonder what would happen if you allowed it to. So for me, I don't even know how I know. It's just kind of like a knowing, like it's an essence. Like, I need to do this. I want to do this. Like, I don't even have a why. I just want to do this. And I feel like it's the way I need to go.
Yeah. Well, let me jump on that. So I'll give you a personal example. So I've had my YouTube channel since 2019, and I started making videos about a bunch of different things that I enjoy talking about. I started making videos about goal setting and peak performance and limiting beliefs and achieving your goals and everything in the realm of personal development. And then I launched my first, again, psychedelic. It keeps going back to this, but that's like what I've been thinking about lately. I launched my first video.
We're going to get a backstory on that in just a minute.
I've talked about it a ton on the show, so I won't dive deep into it again, but I launched my first microdosing video on psychedelics, and I did it from an angle of personal development. I didn't do it from an angle of, oh, this is what the trip was like, nothing like that. I did talk a little bit about it, but it was from the angle of, this is how it's changed my life. This is what I've learned. This is what I'm going to do differently moving forward. And I'm telling you, the podcast has grown like slowly over time, which is great. But every time I've launched a video on psychedelics specifically, it literally does this. If you're watching the video of this, it literally spikes and then it goes back and slowly grows and spikes again and goes back. So the world is telling me, Brandon, we want to hear more about this. We want to hear more about psychedelics in the realm of personal growth, because I'm being rewarded for talking about and doing those things. Very similar to in the corporate world, I started giving presentations on goal setting because I love talking about goals. And then companies started calling me and they said, yeah, we love the goal setting, but we want you to come in here and pump up our people. Right. And I've always hated the term motivational speaker. I've always disliked it because I don't believe that motivation lasts. I believe it's a very temporary thing. You have to continuously do things to quote unquote motivate yourself. Right. And we won't get into that. Maybe we can. But so I kept getting called for that. And I started off by saying, listen, that's not really what I do. And they're like, well, we want you to come in here and do it. So I kept getting so many people asking for that specifically that I'm like, well, why am I pushing back against this? Why don't I just give them what they want and at the same time start giving them what they need?
Sneak in what they need, baby.
Exactly.
Love it.
So while you might believe that you're really good at doing one particular thing and that people like seeing and hearing one particular thing, that can become different and you can differentiate yourself by instead focusing on what people want to see and giving them more of that. It's the marketplace. Right? Supply and demand. If you keep giving people what they don't want, then they're going to keep giving you what you don't want, which is not much views and traction and purchases on your product or whatever it might be. But at the same time, like I'm not like, I know to go with what you said, Andrew, I know that I probably should go 90% in on that angle. But at the same time, I feel this resistance of, is that the right thing to be doing? Like, so I believe that there's two things there. I believe that there's the knowingness, like what you said, Albert,
like when you knew, Andrew, that it was time to move from your last opportunity to this one. But then there's the knowingness of taking action and saying, I'm going to pursue this. Like, when did you cross the chasm of knowing and taking action? If you know, I'm curious to hear from you, Andrew, because I feel like I'm in a very similar position right now.
Sure. Yeah. So it's really interesting. And I really like where this conversation is going, because we're talking about market feedback. We are talking about people who want to throw money at you. And they're saying, hey, I think you would be good at this. Can you come do this thing for me? Right. And you're like, right. Is this me? Does it fit? I think I've talked about this before. I don't know if I've talked about it on the show, but I feel like there's these three circles, that like a Venn diagram that kind of comes together. Right. There's that passion. There is skill set. And then there's things that people pay money for. Right. And when all three of those things can come together, you've got a stinking great job, because you're passionate about it. You care a lot about it. You have the skills to back up your expertise. You can bring a lot of value to those people. And there's people that have money and are willing to pay for it. And I think where a lot of us get mixed up is there's only some of those that are there. But to go back to your original question, the idea of how big is that gap between knowing and taking that action? For me, I have a history of letting that gap go on for way too stinking long. Of just letting it sit. No, I'm just going to suffer. I'm just going to push through. I'm going to grit and bare my teeth. Da, 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 da. And, you know, the past couple of years, I've been starting to lean into more of, as I'm getting this feedback, as I'm having these feelings, I'll sit in them for a period of time. I usually try and give myself a chunk of time. If it's a major change, I'll try and sit in it for a longer period of time. And when I say longer period of time, I'm talking like a couple weeks, a month, right? For non-consequential things, like taking a day to sleep on it, not as big a deal. So I think the gravity of the change you're looking to make maybe kind of can impact that length of time. Because what we don't want to do, especially as entrepreneurs, is just be hopping from one idea to the next. And so, you know, you look back in a year and people are like, what did you actually do? Mm-hmm. I've seen you talk about 300 different things. What is it that you do? And people just get confused. People don't understand. You're differentiated so often and so many times that people, you've differentiated yourself right out of people's mindset, right out of people's radar.
Don't judge me.
You've been consistent.
I'm personally attacked.
I'm consistently posting whatever the hell I want.
I think a lot of it for you, Ben, is always circling back to personal development, circling back to marketing, right? And business, right? Those topics are very frequent and everything kind of stems off of that. But to Brandon's point is he's getting active feedback on certain things, right? So psychedelics and microdosing was one thing that's like, boop, boop, you know what I mean? Like, it's very clear that's something that people want to hear more about. So just talk more about it, right? And so I feel like if you're going to make a big change, I think giving yourself time to stew in it, but also getting feedback that it's the right move, not from like a, hey, friend, that's always sympathetic to my cause that I know is going to say yes. You know, what can you tell me? Should I do this? Right. That's not the feedback you want. You want actual market feedback. What are people saying? What are people wanting? What are they asking for? And if they're asking for something different and they keep asking for something different, give them what they want. Give them what they want. I'm kind of curious for you, Christine.
So I talk about the unknown factor on my podcast a lot with the people that I interview, which are CEOs and they own their companies. And this is that, right? Like, we don't take certain risks because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And sometimes when there's a shift, everything is telling us, like, it's not that we're getting a red flag that we shouldn't do it. We're getting like this anxiety of like, well, what happens if it screws up, right? What happens if it doesn't work? And I would say, well, what happens if it just works for a little bit of time? Like, nothing says you have to do this forever. And the question I would ask somebody who is in this unknown period of like, how do I make this change? Or should I make this change? You know, outside of sure doing market research, what if it leads you to that next stepping stone, right? Like, I think as long as you do the Marie Kondo thought process of like, will this make me happy? Is it going to be fulfilling? Is it going to put me closer in the direction of where I want to go as a professional and as a person, and, you know, what, how I want to live my life? then do it, right? Like, nothing says it has to be something that now, you know, Brandon's stuck talking about psychedelics for the rest of his career. No, maybe you just do it for 6 months. The people want it. Maybe the people aren't going to want it in 6 months. And I think that's what prevents us from doing things, because of the fact that we're like, well, I don't know if it's going to have a long-term effect. Well, who cares if it does, right? Like, maybe you meet someone else in the meantime, or you've come up with a new idea, because we all do, right? We all have, you know, shower ideas or car ideas or whatever that might stem off because of the fact that you decided to do this one thing. And I agree with Andrew on the stewing. It was one of the things that I did about the co-working space, actually. So it was one of those things that kind of came into my, you know, you get those passing ideas and it just kind of sticks for a second. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds great. I'll let it, you know, if it comes back and if it keeps coming back, then that must mean I need to do that, right? And that's kind of what happened. It was something that constantly was nagging at me all the time that I should probably do this. And I have other thoughts like that too, but I've never taken action because I'm like, okay, I need to make sure this one is solidified before I go and jump and do all these other things. But I would tell people, like, you're never going to have all the answers. Plain and simple. Like, yeah, the unknown factor is terrifying, right? We don't know if we're going to fall on our face. We don't know if our business is going to fail. Like, it could fail tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. But that's okay, right? It's going to suck at the time. But while maybe that needed to happen for you to learn something or for you to meet somebody, and out of that could grow something else. And that was a lesson that I learned from my marriage, like, ending, to be honest with you. Like, hey, because this happened and it was awful at that time, but like, it gave all this other fire and like fuel to do these other things that I never would have even taken a second look at before. But I had motivation, I guess, to be like, ah, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to not let anything stop me. And I'm not going to waste the time. And I think that's the thing too, Brandon. Like, if people are asking for these things, well, if enough people are asking, just like if you operated a retail store, right? And like, you only sold baskets, right? And then someone said, hey, you know, do you offer another type of product, maybe like handbags or something? And you're like, no, I only offer baskets. But maybe more and more people started coming and you're like, well, maybe I should start adding handbags because you have people who are asking for it, right? You might make a small investment and say, okay, well, let me see if this sells. First time you do it, you sell out, right? And you're like, okay, well, I'll buy more inventory, right? It's the ebb and flow of like everything. Sometimes things are popular for a long period of time, and sometimes they're only popular for a short time. But if you can take advantage of that, learn something, meet somebody new, and have a new skill, you're not any worse off because you did it.
Love it. I want to circle back to one idea that Brandon was touching on, the idea of motivational speaking. Is that something I need to get into, right? Is that how I'm going to differentiate myself? Because that's what people are asking for. And it kind of made me think of, you know, a famous speaker, made me think of Zig Ziglar. And he's known for being a motivational speaker. But what does he talk about? He talks about goals. He talks about sales. He talks about relationships. You know, he weaves all of these important themes into what he's talking about. And that becomes motivational. And I'm the same as you, Brandon. I hate the idea of motivation. Can't stand it. Right, because it's this idea that, like, I'm just going to have this little flower of excitement and then I'm just going to stop watering it and it's going to die in like a week or a day, right? And it's like, wow, that motivational speaker came in, our sales went up for, you know, a week and a half, and then it was, you know, kind of back to status quo. And, you know, I feel like if people are asking for a certain thing, I think you give them what they're asking for and then sneak in what they need, right? So I used to be a personal trainer, and a lot of people don't like exercise, or they really like one type of exercise. They're like, man, I love this, right? You know, like some people, they would just do abs all day. And like, looking at it from like a trainer's perspective, like, that's not good. Like, that is not a good plan for your body. So, you know, we find ways to bring in like some intensive abdominal focus moments, you know, give them what they're asking for, but then make sure they're getting what they need. Okay, we're going to be working your hips a little bit today too. No, you don't really want to do that. Well, you need that, right? It's going to be very, very important for your progress as a person. You know, so, you know, as a personal trainer, we do that all the time. Is we design a workout so that they're seeing exactly what they want, but they're getting what they want and what they need. So, you know, if you needed reassurance on that motivational speaking point, number one, you'd be stinking awesome at it. And number two, you would be able to deliver on it very well in a way that's not the, you know, the sugar calories kind of a vibe to it, where it's got more staying power, a little more protein to it.
That's very true. That's very true. You know, I think as of recent, I have personally bit off more than I can chew in terms of differentiation. And when I say that, I mean, I love the podcast and I got to the point with the podcast where it's become very automatic. So I started making those videos on psychedelics and I started going down that road. And then that became a little normal, right? But maybe rather than adding something else on top of that pile, I should go all in on the podcast and the psychedelic conversations. But as of recent, I won't go into it, but I'm curious to hear what you guys are doing to streamline moving into this new year. I added something else to that pile, and it was something that actually comes from an earlier part of my life. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about it without going too deep. I used to create gaming videos of a very particular game. Okay,
which game?
RuneScape, it's called. And I played this when I was literally 13, 14, 15 years old. And I made YouTube videos back then of it. And they got a great response. Like, especially back then, YouTube was like a fledgling idea and concept. And I said to myself, I wonder, because I have a friend who still plays it, but I haven't gamed in a long time. But I started dabbling in this and I actually created a few videos. I won't give you the channel name because, anyways, I'm not going to give that to you. But it's very off brand of Be Better and Brandon Eastman and everything else. But I created three videos so far that have also got a great response. And I'm thinking to myself, should I go down this road too, while going down this road, while going down this road? And my plate is full to the point where I've got engagements coming up. I've got a bunch of different things. And it's like, which one do I focus on? When do I focus on it? So I've begun asking myself the question. I've incorporated a lot of different things into what I'm doing. Which ones should I fully focus on? And my gut tells me that it's the Be Better broadcast and what we're talking about with incorporating the psychedelic conversations. And that's what my gut tells me, because it tells me that the other stuff, even though it's getting a response, even though it's a shiny object, it's a distraction overall. And I do know that to be true. So moving into this next year for me, I'm going to be incorporating that difference of psychedelic conversations into the Be Better broadcast, into individual videos. I'm curious to hear with you guys, what are you doing different in this new year that you might not have been doing for 2022 and before?
I got nothing. I'm doing the same stuff.
Fantastic question.
You're doing all the same stuff, Ben. So so tell me, is there any difference moving into this new year for you? You love where you're at and the results that you're getting right now.
Well, I will give an actual answer that isn't tongue in cheek. So 2020 was sort of the year of COVID and the year I started my business. 2021 was the year of build. 2022 was the year of nurture. A lot of nurturing of relationships, creating content, not many asks. For me, 2023 is the year of revenue, that I've spent time building systems, nurturing relationships, creating a foundation. That I guess the only thing I'm going to really do different next year is I'm going to start asking people for money. Straight up, I'm going to start creating programs and giving recommendations when needed to people to get in on this program. Because part of what's made me different is just like give. So I guess 2023 is the year of ask. It's the year of revenue. It's the year of growth. But it's no different than that was always kind of my thought, is to give, to get noticed, and then make an ask. So not a hard pivot at all. It's just once you've differentiated yourself for long enough, it's almost ultimately your duty to, this is a business. So I want to weave back around to the mushrooms and the RuneScape and all that kind of stuff. It's like, if your business people are paying the bills, you might get more listens on a psychedelic related post, but does that add anything to what you're growing in your business? So you kind of have to take two categories, the Maria Kondo joy category, and then the business, what's going to help me actually grow what I'm trying to build category. And if you can integrate the two, that's great. But maybe you sell baskets and everyone comes in and says, you need to have purses, you need to have purses. And then you start bringing in purses and none of those people that are just whiny and complainers actually come in and buy a purse from you. And you realize that you neglected the basket buyers that actually were bringing stuff into your business. Not to say you can't carry purses if the market wants you to, but it's like, how do you differentiate yourself? I've been doing the joy most of my business career, and now I'm focusing more on the business. I know what brings me joy, but how can I bring joy to myself, but then focus on the 10% of actions that actually are creating revenue that allow me to create more joy in my life and help more people? So that's all over the place, but that's how my brain works. I'm different, I guess, you know?
I feel like I should have paid for that advice.
This podcast is for you, Brad.
Brad, this is your first chance, man. It's the year of the ask. Ask him for some money.
Well, another, let's say underwater basket weaving. I love that because when you first said underwater basket weaving, I'm like, this person's clearly high. And I'm not trying to. So I was thinking, and Christina was talking about it, like kind of bringing yourself into things. Maybe you have 9 underwater basket weaving videos and then you put out the 10th video and it's like, for transparency, I know I'm going to lose subscribers. I know I'm going to lose followers, but I want to be transparent and real with you guys. On video 5, 6, and 7, I was actually microdosing mushrooms, and here's cool. why. And then you integrate the two. You might lose followers, but it doesn't mean you have to only do mushroom videos, but you right. kind of trim the fat on the people that see you as just this weird stoner basket weaver, and yeah. you actually trim that fat, and then you've got the meat, and those are your audience. I wish it was as simple as that, but
yeah.
in a moment, and I do want to talk about goals and how to differentiate in 2023, I feel like we're stewing a lot. In a moment, I want people to add whatever's coming up, but I think we need to get really actionable in a moment here on whether it's LinkedIn marketing or business. I want to get super actionable on like specific ways to differentiate. So we'll do that in a second, but let's stew for a second here if anyone has anything higher level to add. And then if you guys are cool, I think we should get kind of into the tactical at the end here.
I agree. Well, it sounds to me like you have an overarching strategy that began in 2020 and you've been playing that strategy, but every year you've had a different theme in a sense where it was grow, nurture, and now monetize. You used a different word, but monetize and ask for money.
Make money. Because yes. at the end of the day, who doesn't want to make more money in 2023?
Yeah.
I joke, if I was the highest taxpayer in the world, I wouldn't complain.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true.
But
yeah. Now, how do you attach a different theme to different actions that go along with the theme? So this could be the segue into actionable goals and strategies for 2023. Like, what changes in terms of your strategy and your tangibles when you change the theme? Because people listening now are probably thinking, well, what will my theme be in this coming year? And I think for me, I don't know yet. Just based on what you said, I think for me, it's going to be focus. That's going to be my theme. Focus on 1 to 2 things, trim the fat, like what you mentioned. How do you then attach actions to that? Because I'm sure you don't change your whole game plan. You do everything very similarly, but you might add one thing or do one thing different in terms of the tangibles.
So I'll add to this because my response originally to this precursor conversation about, you know, I'm not really changing anything for 2023, but of all the things that I do, okay, how do I make more money doing those things? And then how can I refocus so that my skills are best utilized in the areas that I'm in? And to do that would be to delegate. Like for me, to level up to the next spot is to either hire somebody for hanger or, you know, whatever that may look like, so that I can continue spending my energy in the places that I need to. So I would ask somebody who's looking to differentiate themselves in 2023. Obviously, this is dependent on, you know, if they own a company, if they have employees, or if they have an assistant. But it could start like, and Brandon, I know that you had done this, you've delegated out, right? So for certain things that you may not be very good at, it may be valuable to delegate out those tasks, like using Fiverr or something else, so that you can go back to focusing on your original craft and like setting yourself up with a budget to do something like that. And you can get away with a ton on Fiverr, I feel like. But doing it that way so you can really focus on either, you know, your clients, your speaking, whatever it is that you're trying to do.
I just had a light bulb moment, if I can share really quick. We've been talking a lot about differentiation, right? It's been our theme today. And a lot of what we've talked about is like, okay, what's your focus for this next year? Well, I'm doing more of this, or I'm doing less of this, or I've gotten feedback about this. And it kind of got me thinking like, okay, well, what comes before differentiation, right? Before you're deciding like, ah, this is how I'm going to be different, right? It sounds like for a lot of us, it's been experimentation. It's been testing something, right? I'm going to try out this new type of episode. I'm going to, you know, let's open this co-working space. Let's see how this goes. Okay, now what do I need here? What do I need here? Who else can fill in that gap? For Ben, it's been, you know, experimenting with who are the good connections? Who are these people that I can trust that value my time and that I can respect and that can feed into me at the same time? And so I feel like a lot of us, we're kind of continuously running these experiments, right? We have podcasts, we have businesses, we have, some of us have other jobs. We have all these other things that we're doing. We have our fingers in a lot of pies. And sometimes we bite off more than we can chew. And those are very stressful seasons and it gets really hard. And I think before you can even get into experimentation, you need to be a person of action. You need to be doing things. And you're not going to know whether you need to differentiate or not until you start doing stuff, right? Start throwing stuff out into the world and start seeing what happens, right? And then start testing stuff, start experimenting with stuff, start having different styles of conversation, different types of people that you bring onto your show, different conversations that you have, or give different presentations or whatever it is, right? You start mixing it up a little bit and see what happens, see what feedback the market's giving you, see what feedback your peers are giving you. And that's going to allow you to then make some of those experiments permanent, right? You've done some stuff and now you tested some stuff and now you're going to take those tests and those tests can now inform how you're going to do stuff going forward. So I feel like, you know, to sum up a lot of our conversation we've had today, I feel like that's a lot of what we've been talking about. But I would love for you guys to pull that apart. Why is it wrong or why is that right?
Well, I see a lot of people who are, and by the way, this was me too. This was me, and you know, much less now because I'm getting better at this due to being in circles like this one. But I see a lot of people who are the same as everyone else who are in their space. And specifically, I am in a lot of circles with coaches, consultants, speakers. And I know a lot of fitness coaches. And I could probably only name right now two or three of them to you. The reason being, they don't differentiate themselves from everyone else. They're a personal, like how many personal trainers do you know? Like Andrew, when you were in the space, you don't have to answer, but like you probably knew a bunch of other personal trainers who all did the same thing. Yes. But the people who were at the top though, what do they do different, right? If I had to guess, I would guess that they told more stories and they sold themselves, not just based on what they do for people. I help you lose weight, but they added on, I help you lose weight. And I do this because I used to be a fat kid, right? And I went through the same pain that you're facing right now for years and years and years until I had this personal trainer that I worked with help me get into shape, help me to change my life. And now that's what I do to help other people. And this is the process I use to make that happen, right? What sounds more enticing? I can help you lose weight, or I can help you lose weight, followed by the individual story that got you into that space in the first place. I see a lot of people who share advice, who share tips, but again, they're sharing tips and advice on the same things without giving the context that is different, which is Why are you the one to share these tips? Why should I listen to you versus listen to Andrew or Joe or Ben or Christine? Like, why should I listen to you? I think the easiest way, especially at the beginning, to differentiate yourself compared to every other person in your space, because let's face it, I don't care what you do, there's other people in your space. It's to tell your story. I had a sales mentor years ago tell me, Brandon, facts will tell, but stories will sell. Tell more stories. Get people engaged in the why of what you do, and people will be paying for your services at a much higher level when they are bought into why it is you do what you do. Plus, it sets you apart because people know your individual story, which your story, no matter how similar it might be to someone else's, your story is always different than somebody else's story.
100%. And I don't know, maybe Christine and Ben, maybe you're picking up on this. Does it feel like Brandon's had way too many awesome mentors? Like, every story is like, yeah, this mentor just gave me this mind-blowing piece of knowledge that just gave me this awesome.
Sometimes it's been the same mentor, by the way. Okay. Many of these are from the same person who's still a mentor in my life. So I've been blessed to have great
people. Yeah, whoever that is, man, stick with them.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, Brandon has like a board of directors that he goes to like, on a regular basis.
Mentors are important.
They are. I mean, I think surrounding yourself by the right people is a good first step, you know, for people to differentiate yourself. You really need to be around people who may be already taking action. So if you're not sure how to do that or what direction to go, then maybe just, I don't know why it's echoing. Maybe just be around it while it gives you an idea.
Your proximity is power.
Proximity is power.
Let's talk about story. Oh, go ahead, Ben.
We can talk about stories if you want.
So, I mean, I feel like that's a great way to differentiate. Whether you're telling your own story or you're telling a client story, or, you know, people are drawn in by storytelling. You know, they feel these emotions, right? They're led to an emotional decision, and then they justify it with facts. Right, they justify it with stats. They justify it with these other reasons. So it's important to have those other reasons, because that's when I look at my wife, I said, "See, honey, it's got these great reasons." Right, but really, I was probably swayed on emotion. Right, I probably bought it because it was a promise. It was going to raise my status. It was going to increase my free time. It was whatever. Right, whatever the promise of this product or the service is. And I feel like the best storytellers, like if I was to go back in time, and I was to say, "Hey, younger self, there's this one skill that you can, if you can master this skill, you will never have trouble finding a job. You will never have trouble making friends. You would like life will be significantly easier." It would be storytelling. Mm-hmm. If you can become a master storyteller, if you understand tempo, pacing, nuance, when and where to throw in a punchline, how to keep things relevant and funny, how to always bring it back to that audience, those best storytellers, they have so much more opportunity. Because they in this day and age, they draw in the number one most important thing, which is attention. They yes. draw attention, right? We've literally monetized attention now, right? Whether it is an ad on Facebook that you're scrolling by, or whether it is something on TV, right? We have monetized it, where people's eyeballs make other people money, right? Just by you watching things, someone is earning stuff. So I think it's very fascinating if we can become better storytellers, what better way to differentiate ourselves? What better way to set ourselves apart?
Well, I had a mentor once who shared with me a very important principle of networking specifically. And that mentor is actually in this conversation with us right now. Her name is Christine, who said, "Brandon, stop asking people what they do and start asking people why it is they do what they do." Because you can see what someone does on their LinkedIn profile, but you might not necessarily get their story from that, which you should, by the way. You should have your story in your about section in a summarized way so people can get an idea of who you are versus the other three personal trainers. But Christine revolutionized the networking conversation when it became more about stories and less about this is what I do, this is how I do it. The story is always king. So thank you, Christine.
You're welcome.
You're reminding me of one of my mentors, Brian Boger. When I interviewed him, he talks fast, he moves fast, he has an answer for everything. And I have a weird way of asking like four questions at once. Like I can't stop, but I kind of just keep asking questions until I see a nod and then I let them go. But I asked a question and I forget what the question was. It doesn't matter. I asked a question. I said, at the end of it, I asked the question. I go, tell me a story. And he goes, you know, I was going to say one thing, but I had to pause for a moment because when you said, tell me a story, and he like acknowledged that question, and his acknowledgement for me was a light bulb realization that you can quite literally ask someone for their story. And if you sit there and actively listen, you give them permission to be heard, understood, and you also give permission to share your story. So asking that why, I mean, we're always asking, what do you do? Where do you do it? It's like, what lights you up? Like, what got you in this role? Why are you in this role? Why are we even meeting today? I've been starting meetings with like, what did you want to get out of this conversation before we even get started? Because I want to make sure we both like serve each other today. And just starting the meeting like that, we just end up kicking ass. So I'm just putting an exclamation point on whether it's why do you do what you do? What's your story? What asking someone like something that's internal or emotional will light up the conversation. And they say people don't remember what they said. They remember how you made them feel. And that's a great way to differentiate yourself just by making people feel good.
Yeah, I think asking questions they haven't typically heard, which is where the networking intentionality came from. I hated going to events and having people ask me the same, like, you know, what do you do? Here's a business card, like almost coming out of their mouth, right? Like, I'm like, wait, but that's not the only thing that I am. Like, I have all these other things to offer and you're just judging me and putting me in this one little slot. Like, can't we talk about other things? Because if I don't like you as a person, it doesn't really matter what you offer, right? And I think that applies to everybody in really thinking about, like, how are you having these conversations, right? Like, what is your intention? And if your intention is just to kind of, you know, be able to pitch them, then you should probably start over. not a good start to the relationship. What?
When you're talking about, you know, if you're having bad conversations, right, and you keep having bad conversations, the common denominator is you. You know, you're the one that showed up to all those bad conversations. Like, you know, like you gotta take some responsibility there, right? And I think if we're showing up in our work and in our lives and we're not satisfied or we're not happy or we're feeling like something's missing, like go back to that framework I kind of laid out. I'm gonna experiment with that framework itself, right? Gotta start taking some action. Start building some experiments, testing some things out, getting that feedback, and then making the call to differentiate, to move into that newer space if that seems to be what the feedback is sending me towards, right? So if you're in that space where things just aren't good, start taking some action. Go do something about it, right? Don't have to be passive about it. Have bad conversations, start asking better questions.
Bill Nye that shit.
Let's go!
I've got something fun we could maybe partially close on.
Sure.
Because I know Brandon has thoughts. I know for a fact Christine and Andrew have thoughts. I have a couple of thoughts. A lot of our listeners are on LinkedIn where let's just assume that there's a sea of sameness out there. Like people have similar occupations with similar experience. Like why should someone go with you? And we understand tell stories, stand out. We've talked about these things, create content, but they don't know who you are yet. It all starts with a message. And LinkedIn, I think, is a great example because there's so much BS, cold pitch, pitch slapping messages that are terrible. And I joke about this, like, it's great that people send crappy messages because you turn on LinkedIn, it's like opening a door and it's just a bunch of shit everywhere. But in that bundle of shit, you get to be the pony. You get to be the pony surrounded by shit. But people are wondering, how do I be the pony? A lot of us have sent crappy messages. So we've talked about storytelling. We've talked about content. We've talked about marketing. It all starts with a conversation. So maybe you'll start on this, Brandon, because I know you've posted about this. Like, what – and you can talk about what's wrong, but I really want to hear, like, what someone should do. Like, what – how do we start a conversation in a networking context that doesn't feel icky and actually differentiates herself?
Very great question. And I think that could be its own lunch break conversation.
I was going to say.
But I will take it in the direction that we've been headed in and say a lot of people are the same across all these different platforms. And when you're having conversations with people, the context of which platform you're having this conversation is very important. A conversation on LinkedIn is going to look very different than a conversation on Instagram. A conversation with a client on Zoom is going to look very different than in the messages. So going back to what you said, Ben, the first question you ask people when you have a conversation with them on Zoom now is, why are we having this conversation? Right? It's knowing what is my outcome for this conversation. When I'm doing the outreach, what is my outcome with the connect message? It's not to sell them. My outcome is to get them to connect with me. And then once they connect with me, when I message them the next thing, that outcome is to get them to respond and start a conversation. Once they respond, my outcome is to get them to a phone call or a Zoom call. So my outcome changes each step of the way. So to have that conversation with people, it's not to immediately have the outcome of selling. That's like the domain I'm from is sales. So that's why I bring it there. It's to understand what's the next logical step to take. But going along with the platform idea, and again, we could talk about this forever. If you want to stand out in the sea of sameness, which by the way, I love that metaphor because it's very true, then your message can't be the same on each of the platforms you're on. I see people post the same thing on their Instagram that they're posting on their LinkedIn, right? It's very, very different. You must speak in the context of the platform that you are on. If you're posting your 4-minute clip on TikTok, it's not going to get any traction. You've got to trim it down. You've got to change it based on the audience that you're in front of. So I believe that context matters above all. The context of where you are at in that conversation, as well as the context of which platform you're having that conversation on. Hope that answered your question in a way, Ben.
Yeah, context. And it would be like a 3-part series. We could break down each individual platform.
We will.
I do feel attacked on this one too, because I totally post the same thing on Instagram and LinkedIn all the time.
Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes, but
you can at the same time, right? Because I notice that like I'll usually tailor it for LinkedIn. It works pretty well on LinkedIn, and then the kind of crickets on Facebook, right? It's just, you know, my audiences are very different on both, and I'm not doing that tailoring. I'm not tailoring it to that audience that I have on Facebook, and a lot of that's time. But like touching back on Ben's point, actually I don't even remember what Ben's point was. Oh, standing out, right? The idea of, you know, everyone's doing one thing. And so now you just literally just not going to do that. And by not doing it, you're standing out in a good way, is just pay attention, right? Understanding what's going on in your industry or understanding the context of what's going on around you is going to be critical for standing out in a positive way. Right. So, you know, Ben used the example of people pitch slapping on LinkedIn, which is super annoying. I get it all the time. Oh, new connection. Great. Yeah, sure. Let's connect. You know, whole giant mess.
Worst.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate you. You know, you saw, right. You just search and said coach in it. And all of a sudden now I'm your prime prospect. Great. So I think the twofold method, right, of take some action, do some experimentation, and then make a decision. While at the same time, you can also differentiate just by not doing what's not working, right? Look at those things that people are frustrated about. Look at those things that people hate, and don't do that. If people really hate it when businesses aren't good at giving them refunds, be a business that's good at giving people refunds, right? Let's make this a painless process. Neither one of us is happy. Let's both just get it done, right? Whatever it is, right? Whatever other people are doing poorly, just don't do it as poorly. Just do it a little bit better. And all of a sudden, you're great. Look at the construction industry, right? People are calling about quotes all the time. Hey, can you come in, give me an estimate? Sure, yeah, come in. They never show up. Why? Because they're busy. They got tons of business, right? But if you're the person that shows up and gives an estimate, even if it's high, guess what? That might be the only estimate that they get because nobody else is showing up. So just by showing up in certain respects, you get to differentiate yourself relatively easily.
quickest add-on ever. Imagine you showed up for that estimate and you already bought them coffee. So you show up and you're, this is clearly a lot that we need to tackle here. I bought you a coffee.
Yeah.
All you did is purchase a coffee on the way to showing up for the estimate. You think anybody else did that?
And then they say, I hate coffee, and throw it at you.
They're not my customer.
Burning all over.
They're still going to remember you.
That's right. You will be remembered.
Yeah.
In the court of law. That's the latest.
So we are approaching the end of our lunch break. And what better way to wrap it up than with a quick few words from each of us, a few words to a sentence at most of your last final thoughts on being different in 2023. My final words will be, ask yourself what your outcome is for this coming year, maybe even this coming quarter, and ask yourself, what's the one thing that I can change and do differently in order to reach that outcome that I want? For me personally, it is in terms of health. So for the first quarter, since I'm not going to be outside walking because it's cold out, upstate New York at least, then I'm going to be at the gym every day, even if I'm literally just doing a very light workout on my off days during the rest days, but I'll be at the gym every day because I'm not going to be outside walking. So maintaining that movement will be very important. So that's my personal commitment to do different in 2023. How about you, Andrew?
Sure. So I feel like I've hit my 2023 early. So I started a new job at the end of October, and like, I've changed so much, right? I work from home now. I don't leave, and I'm trying to figure out like, what is the right balance? So I'm totally off my posting game. Everything is off about my my podcast. Like, everything's just up in the air right now. So right now it is doing some serious evaluation for what is going to stay and what is, I'm just going to, I've been letting a lot of stuff quietly die, but which things am I going to go and get this, you know, do some CPR and revive it? And which ones am I just going to let them go. So that's going to be my biggest challenge, is figuring out which ones need to stay and which ones are going to peaceably go off into the night.
I love it. How about you, Ben?
To keep it simple, give to receive. Give to receive. And I'm kind of a prick sometimes because I've been getting too much messages. So if someone pitch slaps me, I just pitch them back. They send me a pitch. I'll be like, hey, are you curious that you want to buy my services? And they're like, no, we were actually trying to see if you wanted to buy our services.
You'd be like, no way.
You should be like, if your marketing techniques seem very poor and unresponsive, maybe we should talk.
Oh my God. That's how you can ask for money.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, and honestly, a lot of times, so it actually happened, not all the time, but I called someone out in that way. Like, I was tongue in cheek, and then we actually started a real conversation. So like, it actually led to something, calling them out. But that's beside the point. I could go all day. Give to receive. And part of that is, if you give someone attention, if you give them care, if you reach out and you go, I noticed this, and because of this, I wanted to compliment you on this. If you want compliments, give compliments. If you want business, give referrals. If you want a network, be generous with your network. So just give to receive. And then if your expectation is to give, you're going to kick butt. So wow. Think about, how do I give here? And here's another thing. We talked about stories. I could go all day. If you give them the time to tell their story, then you'll have the opportunity to tell yours. If you let them say their why, then you can share yours. But if you go in to give to receive, you'll actually get what you want, but you have to give it to get it. And that's kind of how that works.
Ben, you're on fire, brother. You're on fire. How about you, Christine? What's your piece of advice or last giving for this one?
So I would say my piece of advice would actually be to build a whiplash statement. So I mentioned in our chat comments, but to differentiate yourself, you need to figure out what that looks like. And that's building a whiplash statement, because that's exactly what that is. It's not an elevator pitch. It's something that defines kind of who you are. And you're describing someone by telling them a quick story. So like, I am the Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking, and I don't have to say anything else. Like, I just say that to somebody, and then they're like, wait, what? Exactly. The whiplash, right? So I highly encourage everyone to do that. Change your LinkedIn profiles accordingly to include your whiplash statement, and you'll get a lot more people to ask you questions.
That's beautiful. I love it. Thank you guys for joining us on our fourth lunch break together. Be sure to keep an eye out on one of our social profiles. They're all in the description for the next lunch break topics. We're going to throw four at you, and you get to choose the one that stands out the most. And we hope that you have an amazing new year, and we hope that you differentiate yourself in the new year to earn more business, but also to live a better life. Thanks so much, guys. Peace.